He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. How did your passage end? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first? Something like that? Was that in there? Yeah. It all works together. Lovett Weems, who is on the faculty at Wesley Seminary after spending some time as the dean of St. Paul's School of Theology in Kansas City, has commented that the Christian church in this day and age really is in a place where we no longer can tell to the world that we have the answer for their problems. It's not that Jesus is any less powerful. It's not that God is any less known. It is more that the world that we are in now has changed so completely from the world that used to assume that everything was answered by the evangelistic project of the church. If they would just come to Jesus, if they were just converted to Christ, so the wisdom said, then everything would be all right. That world is gone. Indeed, the world that we live in now is a perplexed, confused, deeply afraid world. All ideas about God abound and run together. The questions are no less deep and no less profound and no less present. Does my life have meaning? Does my existence come onto the radar of some divine being? What's the point? What am I supposed to do? And where is the end of all this madness? These might not be the questions we ask, but they are the questions that people in our world ask. There are questions that your neighbors ask. There are questions that my neighbors ask. There are questions that are being asked by people at your work and my work. There are people in our community that are confused and perplexed. And they wonder if God cares. They wonder if there's any way to make sense of what goes on. The story that Jesus tells in this parable, the one of the Pharisee and the tax collector, has often been preached from the point of view that we, in some way, are the Pharisee, presenting ourselves to God each Sunday with a kind of arrogance that says, look, Lord, at least we're not like those other people. Look, Lord, we give to Rising Hope and UCM. On the whole, Lord, we think we do rather well. But folks, I got to tell you, it may be true that we're not like other people. And it may be true that we do rather well with our ministries of service and our giving. I don't see you presenting yourself before God as, look how good I am and how great I am. I don't see that in you. If there's anybody in this place that could face that accusation with some justice, it would be me. I got such an incredible ego, it's great. When I did my psychological evaluations for this job, they said, and I'm not sure if it was a joke or not, he's got very good ego strength. Yeah, what does that mean? You have good ego strength too. You have it in a healthy way that as I've journeyed with you, I've discovered that you're not the Pharisee up front pointing to the person back in the back saying, look, Lord, at least I'm not like him over there. And so today I want to take a look at this passage from the point of view of the tax collector and any number of people who are like that person back there. I want to think about where the tax collector stands and why he is the one who is commended by Jesus. Why he's the one who walks away from his encounter with God justified. And why the Pharisee was just spinning his wheels and wasting his time. And I hope that in this little search that you will discover in yourself that you are indeed far more close to the path that you need to follow than perhaps you know. And maybe even give you some tools and some ideas to stay on that path and to move forward. Let's think about it. When the tax collector comes in his prayer, the tax collector is clearly there to deal with his stuff before God. This is an incredible fact that we need to notice and carefully examine. Sometimes we come before God to see other people. Sometimes it is as the Pharisee in order to feel ourselves superior. Sometimes we come before God because this is the only place where we might be considered a big fish in a small bowl. And sometimes we come before God just to be with people who we're comfortable with and who we enjoy being with. And that part of it is really okay. But the tax collector reminds us that when we come before God, when we come to the synagogue, when we come to the church, when we come to worship, when we come here, and we stand before this cross and we sit before this cross, we're not there because of the preacher or how great the music is. We're there because the cross of Christ is before us. And it's time for us to deal with our stuff with God. It's personal. Sometimes it's private. Sometimes so private we can't share it, but often it's the kind of thing that we share with each other. The hurts and the concerns of the week, the fears and challenges of the week to come, the things that scare us and the things that bless us. And we come wanting to be connected to God. We really come looking for what gives meaning and purpose to life. We come opening ourselves, our heart and our mind to God. We come looking for a place where It's not just secure and it's not just a sanctuary, but it's a place of authenticity where we can say before God, here I am, all that I am, who I am, what I've been and what I hope to be in this present moment, and to hear with clarity and with affirmation how much God cares for us. It's a cleaning up, but it's more than that. It's a dressing up in ways that make things whole and right. And so the tax collector comes. Between you and me, God, I don't care who else is here. It doesn't matter. Between you and me, God. Between you and me. The tax collector then goes on to pray. And this is very important. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The first part of this that is important is the incredible honesty that accompanies this prayer. There is absolutely no way for a person to connect with God in any meaningful, life-giving, positive way, if you're going to come before God and suggest to God that you're not like other people who, by the way, deserve punishment, but that you are better than that. There is a fair chance, nary, may I say, almost 100% chance, that if you go to God and tell God how good you are in for at least a rude awakening. And if not a rude awakening, you have a path before you that in the most awful ways will be torment, agony, and destruction. But honesty before God is a path that may be painful, but it most certainly will be fruitful, and it most certainly will bring life. One of the things that we need to be clear about, one of the things that we always need to do, is to be honest before God. And that comes with a certain amount of pain and a whole lot of mercy. Now, let's give you something to work with in this situation. There is a prayer that has been used for 2,000 years by the church. It is still used by the church, mostly monastic communities. And you probably have heard of this prayer, and you might have even prayed this prayer. You might even pray this prayer yourself daily. And this will be a good thing if you do so. It is called the Jesus Prayer. It's a wonderful prayer, and it's very similar to what is printed in the hymnal or a hymn. Discipline, worship book, hymnal, Bible. Yeah. The one in the Bible. It says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The version I'm going to teach you goes like this. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Repeat that after me. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, that seems to be a simple phrase, Let's try it this way. Breathe in, say Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, breathe out. Have mercy on me, breathe in. A sinner. Now, think about what's being breathed out on that last phrase. And what's being breathed in the second phrase. Son of God, you're breathing in. Jesus Christ, Son of God. And finally, you're breathing out. I'm a sinner. If you say this prayer quietly and gently to yourself every day, you will be following a path that has been followed for oh so many years, thousands. And it will still your mind and your heart, and it will become your prayer. And you can go through the whole day. When you find yourself distracted by the craziness around you, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Say it to yourself. Say it until you need not say it anymore, but you think it as if it was background music in your mind. And you will discover that it is your prayer that you are constantly praying, unceasingly. And out of that wonderful well of Jesus' love, you will be expressing the Christ-like spirit through your unique being to a world that is desperate to know it. You can do this anywhere, in any time, and in any place you are finding yourself. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The third thing we need to note is what that honesty and what that humility brings. It brings not the condemnation of God, but it brings the affirmation of God that those who do this, those who present themselves with some kind of humility before God, taking care of the business that is between them, those who offer themselves not in the arrogance of comparison to other people, but those who offer themselves with an honest appraisal of who they are, will come away not only forgiven, but restored and put out for new life for a world that is so desperate for new life. He went away justified. Anybody who's been on an Emmaus walk or dealt with this before will know that justified can sometimes be turned around to say, just as if I had never sinned. Justified. And that's not a position of arrogance. It's not a position of greatness to be compared and put out to others as your superior thing. It's a relief, a cleansing, and a building up of the godly person that God calls you to be. What's so remarkable about this place and in this time and in this community that we serve is that I don't see in you Pharisees going, look how great I am, I'm not like them over there. What I'm so grateful for and what I see are people who are struggling with God and wondering, what's this stuff between me, God? And oh, please help me to be better. Help me to take care of it and help me to do better. And so, my friends, I ask you to start. No, not to start. To continue the journey that you have set yourself on. This journey of coming before God with your stuff, letting it be personal, not just in the head, but in the heart. Not just in the heart, but in the gut. Not just in the gut, but in the head. this journey that you have started with your whole being. And continue to pray. The simplest prayer will do. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You pray that prayer faithfully until the end of this year. I can't wait to see what happens. And remember that you go away from this place renewed and cleansed. And this has particular meaning in light of the world we live in today. A world for which it is difficult to provide answers. And a world that really doesn't need the answers that most of us would give. But a world that needs to be listened to and understood and journeyed with. You and I then become exactly the method and the conduit of the only answer there is. Let me flesh that out just a little bit. The people that we see in our community, in our churches, in our work, in our schools, in the hospital, in our grocery stores, at Chipotle and Primo's, and all the other wonderful places we have to eat, are looking to the church to see if we will listen to their pain, listen to their questions, accept them as they are, befriend them, and journey with them so that they are not alone in the awful confusion that is given to them by the world around us. They are looking to be understood. They are looking to be befriended. They are looking to be welcomed. They are looking to be cared for. And the neat thing about all of that is that's what you already do. And so the tax collector off in the corner didn't raise his eyes but kept them lowered and said, "Have mercy on me, O God, a sinner," and therefore went away justified, as do you.